I was thinking this week of a passage in Revelation, right? John, in the Spirit, is given a view of what heaven looks like. And this is in Revelation 4. There's four creatures before the heavenly throne where God is. And here's what they say. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Goes on, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you all things, and by your will, they were created and have their being." That's the God that we go to worship this morning. We're not just singing songs. We're praising the God of God and that created beings, the elders in the heavens, and that bow down before and continue to praise. Would you stand and join me in prayer? Father God, I ask that you would touch us at a deep level, Lord. Not just our minds, Lord. Not even just our hearts, Lord. But our souls and our spirits, Father, so that this time that we truly would bow down before you and cry out that you are holy, 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 worthy of all praise and all honor. And that we get to do this through our Savior Jesus. And we just completed the celebration of his birth, Lord. We thank you, Father. Use this time that your name might be glorified and that you would be honored and that our praises would rise up like a holy scent to you, Lord. Make us different for the time that we spend with you. And I thank you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Well, we are going to start off with "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise." And because it is such a beautiful, brisk Florida day. I know it's nothing like up north, but yet it's fresh and brisk for us down here in Florida. But that means that we got to move around and we got to clap. And so you guys be the percussion this morning, and let's bring the sacrifice of praise.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
Again, we bring
the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you sacrifices of joy.
What a mighty God, what a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Again,
what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
He is the King, he is the King.
of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is a king. He is a king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is a king.
What a mighty God.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
One more time. He is a king.
He is king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is the king.
Yay! Amen. Amen. I'm feeling warmer already. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. One, two, two, two. Check test. We'll try and get rid of that ring there a little bit. There we go. One, two. Thank you, George. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we are forgiven. Amazing love. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It is my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord Jesus. We do love you this day. We thank you. We praise you. Praise you for the life that we have, Lord Jesus. I thank you for restoring us. Thank you for raising us up. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are holy. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strikes in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, yes, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge concerning you and guard you in all your ways. He will bear you up with their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation.
Away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You caused your sun to shine on darkest nights. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the
love you. You are the one our heart. Seated. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Neely. You can take the mic from me already?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Can I have the clicker? Okay. Thank you, Miss Neely. Well, good morning, everybody. We need to pray for all those who are sick, fighting the flu, and me that will... My voice will make it all the way through, as I am not feeling well myself. So if you would just take a second quietly, pray for me as I pray for others. Father, we just want to first lift up all the folks that are struggling, Lord, right now. Lord, you know what illness is, Lord, whether it's flu-related or personal or struggles or whatever, Lord. We just ask that you would meet them right where they're at, Lord, for you are God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you care about each and every little problem, Lord, that we have, whether it's little or big. You're right there in the midst. You say to cast all our burdens on you because you care for us, Lord. So, Lord, be with each person, Lord, whether they're homesick or here, Lord God, and please help my voice, Lord, just to make it through this teaching so then I can crash. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon your people. That your word would go forth, Lord God, or anything else, that if you put a word on anyone else's heart, Lord, that they would be bold enough to speak that forward, Lord God, and other people would be blessed. We love you, Lord, and we ask for your anointing during this time, in Jesus Christ's name alone. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Awesome, guys, awesome. Excuse me while I get a quick drink of water. All right. Well, we have a few things to go over for announcements. Gary, I'm going to ask you to come up somewhere. You're somewhere here, too. Okay, first, we've got lots of free Panera Bread in the back. Please take some home with you. We've also got clothes in the back there up on the tables over there. Please take whatever you need in Jesus' name. It's just free as a gift. We want to make that available. We're not going to take up a tithe and an offering, but we do receive them in a little bird box in the back. And you are very much welcome to give. Well, I'm not wearing my name tag. Just a note, some folks asked that you, especially if you're new, if you wouldn't mind wearing that name tag. In fact, even if you've been here a long time, it helps people to get to know you a little bit better. And so we'd appreciate that. By the way, my name's Darren.
Darren.
Okay. Hi! It's my first time. Somebody offered me some snacks because it's my first time here. We just, again, just wanted to say thank you for missions. Paul and Marcia Cowley, who are discipling to the least of those in Kenya's, we were able to supply all their Bibles. And so somebody just gave me money again today. Thank you guys for being such a generous body, Lord. Even though we're just little and we're down home, gosh, God supplied all these Bibles for 60 upcoming pastors that are going to minister in the slums. Isn't that amazing?
Praise the Lord.
Thank you that his word is not returning void. Also, just want to say thank you guys for just all your help, just all those who have been such a blessing, Shepherd's Heart Christian School, just working and ministering. That school wouldn't even be able to be here without this church. And so thank you guys so much for that, and thank you for all who help and minister and just being a part of what God's doing here. It's awesome. Betty, I see your hand up in the back. So,
yeah,
hey, St. Victor.
I told my boss about...
We're going to give you a mic. I know you don't like it, but we're going to give you a mic anyway.
I told my boss about we was raising the money to get the Bibles and stuff, mm-hmm. And she said if I would have came in there earlier and told her, she said that she could have done a fundraiser for it.
Mm.
So next time I'm going to be doing that.
That'd be awesome.
So, and she just turned her life over to Jesus 2 weeks ago.
Woo! Praise the Lord. That's an awesome testimony. Love to hear that. And yes, you know what? There's new semesters coming up. And so that'd be wonderful. In fact, Dana, I know we didn't, just would you just come up here for a second? I know. Could you bring the mic, Sosof? You don't even have to say anything, and I know you don't like this stuff, but I don't even know what to say. I just felt like the Lord would have me bring you up here and pray for you.
Okay.
And so I don't even know what I should say. So you are going to be going
to Bolivia.
For sure.
Lord willing.
Okay, Lord willing, do you want to take the mic for a second?
Sure.
We're just going to pray for him. He's just going to talk for a minute. And
well, I haven't even applied to the mission yet, but I was a missionary many years ago, and I've always felt that that was my calling. And my mom was widowed when I was on the field, and she had needs here, and she asked me to return to help her. And it's pretty clear in God's word that if we don't take care of our own families, that we're worse than an infidel. That'd be kind of a sad state to be in as a missionary. And but I didn't have to think about it. I came home, and that turned out to be a much longer season in life than I ever dreamed when I left the field 40 years ago. And so anyway, but it was always in my heart. And my mom passed away 10 years ago, but I had a younger brother that was part of the reason she had asked me to come home. He had special needs, and it was difficult for my mom. And anyway, so I took that over after she passed, actually even before she did, but and that brother has also passed away. That was about 2 years ago, and just more recently, I mean, it was right away on my mind, well, God, what do you have for me now? And I've always, like I say, I've always had the call of missions in my heart and on my life, I'm making plans now to return to that same field in Bolivia. And so, but I have to reapply to the mission. And I have a business here, and I've got it up for sale. And I've decided that I'll wait until July, unless God says something, you know, in the interim. And if it sells by then, fine. If it doesn't, I'll figure out what I'm going to do with it. But I'll go ahead and either close it down or give it away or whatever, you know. So anyway, that's the plan right now, and I appreciate your allowing me to share it with you guys.
Well, we're excited. I'm hoping, Gary, can I ask you to come up here for a minute? I know you didn't plan any of this, so this is kind of off the fly. I just being led by the Lord. You have your oil with you, right?
Sure.
Do you have your oil with you? Something with you? Okay, we're just going to take a minute, and we're going to pray for our brother here. I've known Dana for a long time, actually since we had a Christian singles Bible study. Actually, that's where I met. I think that's where I met my wife, or right before, right around that time. And so he had a lot of less gray hairs. Of course, I did too. Honestly, so I guess I should tease him.
You didn't have any.
I didn't have any. I know this is painful. Anyway, so we're going to take a minute, and our hope is that first that he goes, and we're going to pray that God would just anoint him for the mission field, and then we're going to try to supply the Bibles he needs for him ministering down in Bolivia. Okay, so Gary, would you just mind praying over him? If anybody else, if you guys could just join us in prayer. And yes, if you want to come up and lay your hands on him, you can. You don't have to. But Gary, would you just come over, and we'll give you the mic, and I'm just going to ask you to pray whatever God wants, or I'll hold the mic for you, whatever you want.
Father, your word tells us in Ephesians 2 that you have a call on all of our lives, Lord. And Lord, if we call you Lord and Master, it's our job to be obedient to this. Father, we thank you for servants like Dana who are obedient, Lord. Father, and that's true whether your call is to to pick up and move to Bolivia, or to come home and care for his family, just as your word says, Lord. You call some of us to one place and some to another. Now, Lord, we ask, I believe it's true that you've put into Dana's heart a desire to go back into the mission field, Lord, to move back to Bolivia. And so, Lord, we know that when you put something in our heart and you call us to do something, you provide the means to do it. And so, Lord, we're going to thank you in advance for the mission board that will set up what they need to set up, Lord. We thank you for the preparations in advance that you've already created and done, and that we have not seen them here yet, but we will, Lord. And then, Lord, we thank you for the work that will happen down in Bolivia, Lord. I ask that you'd give Home Fellowship an opportunity to share with Dana and the work that's done down there, even if it's
all of us.
Sharing through your word, Lord. But, Lord, the testimonies that will come back to us, Lord, that we may have to encourage us as well, Lord. We are truly one body, even though we may be separated by oceans and land masses. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in Dana's life, Lord. We thank you what you're going to do in the lives of the people that he will meet. He does not even know yet, Lord, doesn't even know their names. But you do, Lord. We thank you in advance for all that you're doing. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, amen.
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 Thank you very much.
Amen. God bless you. Hey, give me a hug. All right. Thank you guys for being so patient with us. Oh, Sophie, yeah, I got the mic right. Okay, so did it just get hot in here, or
no,
yeah?
No, it can't.
Hey, speaking, you're raising your hand. I have a book for you, Sue. I do want to hear what you have to say. Could you give her the mic? Seeking Allah, finding Jesus. That's you. That's a gift in Jesus' name. I have one more. If anybody would like to read it, Seeking Allah, finding Jesus: A Devout Muslim Encounters Christianity. If anybody, okay, you want to read it? Okay, you just give it back to me when you're done. You hand that? Sorry, keep handing it. Thank you. Love to equip the saints. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to give a praise report.
Please.
I want to thank you for praying for my brother that has cancer. He has taken his last chemo, and he has a visit with the doctor on the 11th to see if he needs any further treatment. And all the way through this ordeal, my brother still worked. And that,
wow,
in my eyes, is a miracle in itself, because chemo does a lot of strange things to your body. And he's in construction, so
wow.
He wasn't able to work full days, but he was able to work, and he didn't have a lot of the side effects that you normally do, and the ones that he did have were minor, so prayers were answered, and I want to thank this church for that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless him in Jesus' name. Bring him to yourself, Lord. In Jesus' name. All right, a couple quick things. We're going to skip some of these equipping. You guys know about sermons online and the Loner Library. Just move right on. Don't forget prayer Sunday mornings here at 9:30. We've got men's Bible study this Tuesday. No, we do not.
Ladies.
Is it ladies? I never get that right. Like I said, we have women's Bible study this Tuesday, going through the book of Ephesians, and that's 6:30 to 8 o'clock here at Home Fellowship Church. Yes, yes, go. You may say whatever you want.
I just wanted to encourage the ladies to come. We're discussing Ephesians, and we're going to pick up in Ephesians 1, verse 15 this week. And I love this part. I'm excited about it. There's some really neat promises.
Wow.
And there's a cool couple of scriptures that I, over the years, have turned into a prayer. So I'm excited to share that to you guys also. And Pastor Darren, I did notice my number is wrong on there. Just if you can remember, at the end of the number, it's 4752.
5-2. Yeah. I will have the person who makes a slide thrashed severely.
And also, ladies, we've been meeting in the portable on Tuesday nights, back in the portable. So I think we're going to try that maybe again. And if we get too full for back there, we'll have to think about coming back up here. But it's just cozy and intimate back there. So I hope to see you all then.
Good.
Thanks.
And come out, guys. Get strengthened in the word. Also, Wednesday is youth group. Yes, 6:30. Okay, 6:30, 8:30. Okay, and then we're also Winter Jam. It's this Saturday. Okay, now listen, it's this Saturday, so everybody has to talk to Josh and Amanda. I put down we're meeting here, I'm guessing Saturday or whatever at a certain time. I don't really know. We'll have to figure that out. But we didn't have time to tell everybody, because we've been off for Christmas and New Year's. So, but we are going to go. The tickets are $15. There's a lot of wonderful folks out there. Newsboys, Danny Gokey, Mandisa, New Song. So anyway, if they need any more information, they can see you guys. Is there anything you want to say, Amanda Panda? We're going to bring you a mic, sorry. I know, everybody hates the mic, but it'll help people who listen online, and there are folks that do that. Thanks.
We're really excited about it. We are going to go hours early, and we're going to stand in line so that we can get some tickets. Yes. And we have some drivers that have volunteered. So
awesome.
We're really excited.
Ah, praise the
Lord.
Concert. Good. Okay, good. So I'd encourage you. Now listen, if you don't have $15 and you're a teenager, you don't have $15, your family doesn't have $15, go anyway, and the church body will pay for you in Jesus' name. Now listen, now that doesn't mean that, oh, I get a free concert. If you have the $15, of course pay, because we could buy Bibles or some other things with that. But we want to also don't want anybody not to be able to come. Sound good, Mr. Josh? Okay. All right, good guess. I don't think they've determined that yet. Yeah. All right. Okay, sounds good. Around 12, we'll just say, well, for sure, let you know on youth group. All right, and then also experiencing God. Gary, you wanted to come up for a second on this. Again, I just want to encourage anybody who hasn't signed up for this. That's this Thursday. And this is probably the best course for growing in the Lord that I've ever taken. And so it'll be 14 weeks. You will have homework. Do not miss this course. Pray about it. There's about 20 people that are signed up. So that's fantastic. But I just want to encourage you, make the commitment, do the homework, come out. So, Gary, is whatever you want to say.
Well, yeah, this morning when our group was praying, we in part we were asking, seeing what the Lord had planned for Home Fellowship Church in the new year. And I commented, I didn't think it was a coincidence that we were convicted to do Experiencing God Now, and that there had been a desire to do it for a year already. And then the Lord finally told us, and now we had to do it, needed to do it. And it was interesting because this truly is a life-changing. You know, if you ever thought that you were a second-class Christian, that you couldn't hear from God, that there must be more than Sunday morning, this is the course. But then Wendy Jo, I think, and you've taken it, what, three or four times now? Twice. And would you share a little bit of what you shared? Or I know I caught you totally off guard. And that,
you'll get used to it.
So I was sharing in prayer time this morning because we were praying for the people who have signed up. And I was just telling them how much it matured me as a Christian and helped me to trust God and to just live my life following him and seeing where he's working and joining him when he wants me to. So it really was a life-changing thing for me to be more fully committed to him. And I really can't express in words, really, how it really helped me to be so close to him and trust him in everything that I do.
So. Thank you. I apologize for putting her on the spot that way.
I don't. I love it. It's great. And no, you know what? I just love it when the Lord works. And you know what? Even if you're a teen, if you want to come and you can do the work, you just need to be wanting, just got to commit. That's the thing. You have to commit. And I just want to encourage you. We only run this once every year or two. So I just wanted to, is there anything else, Gary, you want to say? That's about it. Okay. So sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, and there's a second page. Yeah, Andy?
I need to extremely apologize to the women's group.
Okay.
To make.
Okay.
I can go one evening or a week. I'm choosing this.
Okay.
I'm going to have to step away from the women's group.
Okay.
Only for the time that this is.
Okay. You know what? And I would even, I hate to even say it, but honestly, I would, I would probably, if you have to make a choice, I would do both. But if you have to do, then yes, then I would honestly do that if you've not taken that. It's that important. I would say the same with the men's group. You know how much I love the men's group. It's just that important. So, yes. Okay, yeah, just for that time.
Yeah, one thing I forgot to mention, too. Some of the sheets out there had that it's Tuesday night. That is incorrect. It is Thursday night. The ladies is Tuesday.
I will thrash severely whoever printed off those. Both of those.
I just forgive them, but okay.
Yeah, that's me for both, just so everybody knows. The only person that's getting thrashed is me. And so, all right, well, let's get into the Word, shall we? Let's open our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, hey, if anybody does not have a Bible and you will read it, would anyone like a Bible? I've got one in giant print for this. Okay, it's now yours as a gift in Jesus' name. Victor. Anybody else?
While you're passing those out, can I say one thing about the ladies' group?
Yes, okay.
Andy.
Anybody else?
Oh, we're going to miss you. I'm very sad, but I also, Nathan and I took this course 2 years ago and agree 100%. It's a wonderful course not to be missed. So I understand completely. Love you too.
We'll get some more in. If you'll read the Word, do your devotionals day. Man, we'll buy the Word. We'll get whatever it takes to get the Word of God in you so that you can apply it to your life. That's what changes life, is the Lord, is His heart, His Word, and His Spirit. All right, Mr. Chris, we are going to be in the book of Daniel. So if you can open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Now, you guys... Oh, by the way, thanks, Mr. Anthony, for doing the self-defense course, too, for the boys. That was great. Little Zeke was a beast, I was told. Okay, so normally we go through verse by verse through the Bible. However, what we've done is we've done the parable of the talents for a New Year's message last week. The week before that, we did the Christmas dilemma. And then, honestly, because of Daniel chapter 10, where we left off, we did a six-week study in Ephesians 6 on spiritual warfare. So a lot of folks were like, I think we finished Daniel. And like I heard some folks arguing, no, we didn't. Yeah, we did. Well, we didn't. It's just we've been away from it for a bit. And so we're going to be in Daniel chapter 11 today. Daniel chapter 11. Somebody asked me to recap 10 chapters. I'm just not going to do it. You can listen to sermons online, homefellowshipchurch.com. And my voice just couldn't take it. And so you remember in chapter 9, they actually, God's so cool with his prophecies. They absolutely prophesied to the day of when the triumphal entry, when Jesus the Messiah would be coming in to Jerusalem, predicted it to the day, and yet folks missed it. And God is speaking to people all over. God is speaking to people here. And you know what my fear is? That we're going to do the same dumb thing. We're going to miss it. He's speaking to us, and we're going to miss it. Lord, let that not be true of me. Let that not be true of this congregation, of this body, of you. May we all hear his word, listen for his voice, and listen for when he's speaking to us. I just, it grieves my heart that Jesus had to say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill and stone those who sent to you. How often I've longed to gather you together as a hen gathers his chicks, but you were not willing. And we need to make sure that we're willing. Then we talked about in Daniel chapter 10 where Daniel was praying. If you remember the story, he was praying, asking about God's people and how long they were going to be in captivity. And we learned that there's a spiritual war going on. And you remember that a message was immediately dispatched when he was praying. Daniel prayed immediately. But it took 21 days to get that message because there was war in the heavenlies going on. You remember that? Gabriel was taken out. He was taking the message, and then the prince of Persia attacked. And then Michael the archangel had to help just to get that message through. So he talked for 6 weeks about, hey, this world is not a playground, but it's a battleground. And we have to be trained up. We have to know what the word says for ourselves. And to understand that in chapter 10, it's all about spiritual warfare. For we battle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against that, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the neat thing about Daniel 11, there's it's really cool in one aspect, and then it's really frustrating in another. Really? Really. Now, here's why. How many of you do like history? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you do not like history? Raise your hand. Okay, if you do not like it, you can just lay down in the pew right now. Just go to sleep. Okay, so the last couple of, probably the last bunch of teachings have been just really applicable. Really, it's a lot of stuff in there. This particular teaching is filled with prophecy. And for us, there's probably in the first, I don't know, 30, 40 verses, there's probably 130 to 135 fulfilled prophecies. Now, that is unbelievable, in consecutive order of what's going to happen in history. Whoa. Written before it ever happened. Now, that is, the magnitude of that is staggering. So much so that the critics hate Daniel. And I just love the words of Jesus, who's in Luke 21:33 said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And you're going to see those prophecies fulfilled. The stars may fall, but God's promises will stand and be fulfilled. Joshua 23:14 says, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." Now, sometimes that takes a lot of time, doesn't it? I've had his promises be fulfilled for me immediately, more times than I can ever even count or remember. And then I've had some that have not been fulfilled yet. We have to trust him in those times as he's stretching us and growing us. But there's so much prophecy and there's so much historical accuracy in the book of Daniel chapter 11 that Bible critics absolutely hate this chapter because it's so crazily accurate. It comforts the Christians, but it confounds the critics. They go bonkers of it. Because they don't believe in God and they don't believe that he's sovereign over everything, they say, well, this had to have been written after all these facts. But you guys who have gone through the book of Daniel with us, I was going to go through a whole bunch of archaeological stuff, but we already did that in other teachings. You'll have to listen to the tons. So much so that you couldn't even doubt that the book of Daniel was written by the Lord and written back then. There's so much history and that archaeology that confirms it. It's amazing. I don't have time to go through all that again. You can listen to the old CDs. But even in Ezekiel speaks of Daniel. The critics say, oh, Daniel wasn't real. Even Ezekiel says, in Ezekiel 14:14, even if Daniel and Job were there, their righteousness would save no one but themselves, says the sovereign Lord. And even Jesus spoke about Daniel as being real when he said in Matthew 24:15-16, "See, when you're standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through who? The prophet Daniel. Let the reader understand." So, to me, that's enough. Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything." So what you're going to see in chapter 11 is 400 years of history come true. I can't even tell you how incredible that is. So when we're worrying about our little problems, and you're going to see all this intrigue, and these people are making their plans, and killing this one, and fighting this one, and going to war here, God's saying, it doesn't matter what you do, my purposes are going to come. And his purposes in your life are going to come true. You just keep your eyes fixed on him. So don't worry. Don't be so anxious about tomorrow. God's going to take care of your tomorrow too. Just live one day at a time with your eyes fixed on Jesus. That's what this chapter tells me. Now, in one sense, that's really exciting. In the other sense, going through it, because it's very long, it's like, oh. So I almost thought, well, maybe I'll just zippity-doo-dah through it. But then a couple of nice people in our church lovingly rebuked me and said, "Pastor Darren, take your time." So we're just going to go through it together, and we're going to do the best job I can in my weakened voice state, and we're just going to go through the scriptures together, okay? So the Lord says this, and I really love it. You know, if you're going through a hard time, just remember God's word here in Isaiah 41:13. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning in your life. He who started a good work in you, the Bible says, is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. All you got to do is keep walking forward. That's it. Keep walking towards Jesus. Keep your eyes riveted on him. Don't get distracted by the government or the war or your pocketbooks or whatever. You focus on Jesus. He says, for I will hold you by your right hand. I, the Lord, your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. That's an amazing promise, don't you think? And that's made to me and to you. That's your God. Elijah, were you raising your hand or stretching? Okay. When it comes to prophecy, 2 Peter says that we, us Christians, have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which we will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. And of course, it continues with 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God gave all these prophecies, 400 years worth of history, and it's all centered around this one tiny little podunk place, right in the middle of everything. You know where that place is? Israel. Right there. Now there's history all over the world, but according to God, this is all going, my people are here. And it's all centered right around what's going on in the world here. And so 400 years, we're going to try. You see my eye twitching? It's twitching. I'll try to make it as interesting as possible. Again, if you like history, you're going to love this. If you hate history, you're going to be like, oh, gouge my eyes out. And you're just going to have to relax and know that we're going to get through it. But to me, this is just a part of Scripture. And to me, this is kind of cool. All right, so we're going to start off in verse 1. It says, and in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. Now, Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, verse 1. Now listen, for some reason, I think verse 1 was supposed to be, the just so you don't, if you don't know, the chapters and verses, wasn't there originally. That was put there afterwards to help. So I think, actually, that verse should have gone as a finish to chapter 10, okay? Or a bridge to 11, okay? And he's saying that, you remember he says that Gabriel stood with Michael in doing spiritual warfare for God's people, because Michael stood with Gabriel to get the message to Daniel during spiritual warfare. So now Daniel 11:1 says that Gabriel also stood with Michael in doing spiritual warfare for God's people, the hearts and minds of King Cyrus and King Darius to free God's people. Remember, Daniel was praying in the last chapter, Lord, my people, when are we going to be free? And we're enslaved. And what's going to happen? And God sent him the message. And now it's saying in this first verse, in the first year of Darius the Mede, that I took my stand to support and protect him. It's interesting that in that spiritual background, that spiritual warfare, that God moved on the hearts of King Cyrus at this time, in the first year of Darius the Mede. And actually, if you look at, I'll just read it in Ezra chapter 1. It says, in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout the whole realm. And basically, he let all God's people return. Whoever wanted to return, go back to Jerusalem in this first year. So that's significant to me. And it goes on to say in verse 2, it says, now I tell you the truth. Three more kings will appear in Persia, then a fourth, who will be far richer than all the others. When he has gained power by his wealth, he will stir up everyone against the kingdom of Greece. Now, first off, at this time, there wasn't even a kingdom of Greece. There were just a bunch of city-states. Greece wasn't even a kingdom yet. So here, God's word is saying this way ahead of time, okay? You remember the dream that he gave in the earlier chapters, where he saw Babylon was first, and then Persia was going to come in, and then the Greeks were going to come in and lead the world, and then Rome. And this is it. It says, here are the three kings. I'll wait on him. Here are the three kings of Persia that are going to appear after. The first one, the current king, was Cyrus the Great. The first one was a guy named Cambyses. And I know some of you like this, some of you don't, but I'm going to tell you the details. 530 to 522 BC. History records all this was true. He got this accurate. There were just four more kings, three and then a fourth one. Okay? And Cambyses was kind of a crazy guy, and he just looked to make war. He was the next king after he was Cyrus's son, and he was a little wacky. He married his sister, and then that wasn't enough, so he married his other sister. And then his brother didn't like that, so said something, and then he killed him. And then the sister said, hey, why are you killing the brother? And so he killed her. And anyway, he was a little bit of a cray-cray guy. And he attacked Egypt, and eventually I think he was killed by his own priest or whatever. Like, anyway, so he was a little bit of a brutal man and a little crazy. And then the next person was a guy named Pseudo-Smerdis. Now, here's the funny thing. Remember how I said that Cyrus's son, the first king, Cambyses, he murdered the brother? Remember how I said that? Well, as he went down to attack Egypt, this Cambyses, this guy, Pseudo-Smerdis, one of his priests, looked like his dead brother. So the historians call him Pseudo-Smerdis because he took the name of the dead brother because he looked just like him, dressed up just like him, and pronounced himself king. And ruled for a year before he was deposed. Now, that's pretty amazing that history, I mean, and you can check all this out in history. You can Google it. So he ruled for 1 year, 522 BC. And then the third king of Persia was a guy by the name of Darius Heptases. And then the fourth one, it says, who's going to be, he gained power by wealth, and he'll stir up everyone against Greece. And that's this guy right here. Well, not exactly this guy, but thanks, Chris. King Xerxes. Does anybody remember that guy? Anybody watch 300, the movie? Every guy. Okay. So Xerxes was a super powerful ruler in Persia. I mean, he kind of ruled the world at the time. And it says, actually, he's the guy in Esther, verses 1 and 2. Same guy. It says, this is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes who ruled over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Kush. At this time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. So this guy actually exists. He was the richest, the biggest king Persia ever had. And yes, he was stirred up against Greece. And he actually went to battle against him. By the way, just so you know that these people actually exist. This is in Iran, actually. These are the tombs. Here's his tomb right here. Xerxes the First. Okay? These people actually exist. There's a little close-up of his tomb. Okay, a little picture of him if you want to know what he looks like. Okay? In Iran. According to ancient historian Herodotus, Xerxes had great riches and wealth, and he amassed the largest army that has ever been known to attack at one time. He comprised a group of people, 2 million men strong, to attack Greece, and 4,000 ships. Now think about that. 2 million men back that long ago. I mean, that's incredible. 4,000 ships that he amassed to attack these little city-states. It's incredible. Oh, hey, by the way, you know how it said a few back that his citadel was in Susa? Xerxes' citadel was in Susa. We read that in Esther. Here's what it looked like in 1935, okay? Actually, the ruins of his citadel were there. Now, unfortunately, modern day, 2009, it was heavily bombed during the Iraq War, during the First Gulf War. It's all gone. All that history is erased. But the Bible confirms, even our historical documents confirm that it's all true. So anyway, Xerxes had this massive, massive army that he moved 2 million men strong. And you guys might remember the story. He was met by King Leonidas, right, of Sparta. You guys remember that story? You remember Thermopylae? It was a little coastal pass. He's bringing 2 million men down and all of his ships, and he was going to take over all of Greece. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, right? And 7,000 troops blocked this pass at Thermopylae, right? And yes, I know I'm getting to the 300. Don't correct me yet. Okay, so 7,000 men got there, and they were kicking butt. 7,000, think about that, against 2 million trained warriors. 2 million. Okay, so they're fighting, and they're actually holding their own. They're stopping this million-man army, 2 million-man army, right? And the Persians are trying to come in. They're holding them off, led by King Leonidas of Sparta. And finally, what happened is one of the locals betrayed the Grecian people, and told them of another secret way around the pass. So they got behind him, and they knew, they saw the army moving, so they know they found the path. And so what happened was 300 warriors stayed behind to block and defend as long as they could. And that allowed the rest of the troops to escape. And they allowed time for the rest of the cities to clear out, like Athens, so the people wouldn't be killed and hurt. And they all made a stand later on. So the 300 warriors bought that time for all those people. And they eventually pushed back the Persian forces, attacked them by sea. And then eventually he went back home. So this Xerxes attacked Greece, just like it says. So there's three Persian kings that came after Cyrus the Great, just like it was prophesied hundreds of years before. And then a fourth one that was far richer and stirred up everyone, 2 million people against the kingdom of Greece. Just that prophecy alone. What are the chances? It would be if somebody said, you know what, hundreds of years before, there's going to be around this time a first African-American president. And then of the 50 states that are united, and he's going to be very liberal and more pro-Muslim. And then there's going to be an orange-haired president that's going to be a loudmouth, and he's going to be a business guy. He's not going to be a politician, and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be a conservative, or whatever. I mean, imagine that. I mean, imagine if all this stuff was predicted. It's incredible. I appreciate it. This is what we have next. It says this. It says now, in verse 3, then a mighty king will appear who will rule with great power and do as he pleases. Now, you know who that was? That's this guy. No, not Brad Pitt. Okay, this is from the movie Alexander the Great. Okay, so Brad Pitt took a little creative liberty. What? That's Brad Pitt. What? Look at him. What? Yes, it does. All right, who is it? Whatever. You guys just don't know Brad Pitt. You're jealous. All right, I'm going to say. Okay, all right, I don't know, so I'm going to trust whoever Colin Farrell is. I don't even know who that guy is. Whatever. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of that. Okay, yeah. All right, so anyway, whatever. So Colin Farrell, thank you for the correction. I'll receive it. Who played Alexander the Great, yes? Okay, thank you for that correction. I'll receive it. Thank you. And so Alexander the Great basically took over the known world. He united all the Grecian states, and I mean, he basically took over the world. In fact, he died at the age 33, and he was depressed. He was in Babylon. He'd already taken that. He'd gone all the way over, was taking over India, and his troops are just like, this is boring. They would go up to cities, and they would just surrender. They would come out. And in fact, his troops were like, this is so boring. We don't want to do this anymore. We've taken over the world. Why are we still doing this? And so he went back. He was back in Babylon. Everybody was either in submission to him or whatever. And he got drunk, and went outside in the rain, caught pneumonia, and died at 33 years old. But he basically could do anything. Many even thought he was like a little g god. And so it says, after he appeared, his empire will be broken up and parceled out toward the four winds of heaven. Okay, so hopefully I have a slide for this one. Did I do that? Oh, hey, by the way, this is another interesting fact, fun fact. This is cool. Even non-Christian historians, Flavius Josephus, report the book of Daniel. Do you know that it says in the history books, it says, and when the book of Daniel was showed to him, Alexander the Great, wherein Daniel declared that one of the Greeks should destroy the empire of the Persians, he supposed that he himself was the person intended. So here's the story. Alexander the Great was conquering the world, right? Conquering everything. He conquered, there was a place called Tyre, which was a city-state. It was on an island. There was nobody could ever conquer it. So he actually built a land bridge over the water to take over Tyre. And then he said, since Jerusalem was not too far, he said, hey, I need some troops and supplies. Chop, chop, chop. I want it right now. And they're like, but we're all under the command of Darius the Persian. So the high priest hesitated. So, Alexander the Great did not like that. So he came in with a storm and he was coming up to take over Jerusalem and besiege it and take it down. As he was coming up, the day before, the high priest gathered everybody to pray. And the Lord spoke to the high priest and said, I want you to go out dressed in your full high priestly garb. And the Lord told him exactly what to wear. And he said, I want everyone else wearing white behind them, all the high priests. I want you to open the gates wide to him. And I want you to do this, and this is what I want you to say. I want you to show him the book of Daniel. And so he went out, he thought, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding. Now he's mad at me. They're coming in to kill me and to kill everybody. He said, this is what I want you to do. So he said, I'm going to trust you, Lord. And so he went out, and sure enough, he went up, and as he saw them coming out, it says that history records that Alexander stopped all of his troops and got off his horse with his generals and stopped and watched this procession coming to him with their flags and everything like that. All these priests dressed in white. And it wasn't a battle with the high priest. And it says that he bid his generals to stay. And he walked up, right, to the high priest who had the book. And it says that he read in the book of Daniel where it said that he was going to arise and take over the kingdom of the Persians and take over the world. He said that instead of slaughtering the city, what he did was he fell on his knees before this man. But it really wasn't this man. He got back up and his generals said, why did you fall on your... You don't bow before anyone. You're Alexander the Great. Why did you fall on your knees before this priest? And he said, years ago, I had a dream when I was in Macedonia. And a man dressed exactly like this told me, as I was thinking of how I'm going to conquer Asia and all this, and he told me exactly what to do and how to get here. And he was dressed exactly like that and said that I would meet someone like this who would show me. And he said, when I saw him come out, and they were dressed exactly how the dream showed me. And I realized that it was God. So I did not fall before this man and kneel before him. I kneeled before his God. And then it says that he went up and he sacrificed to the Lord. He made offerings, burnt offerings, and he treated God's people with incredible leniency, much to the hatred of everyone around them, with much leniency and blessing. Isn't that amazing? This is historians, non-Christian historians, are reporting this. Isn't that amazing? God's hand is over everything. So even though these little historical things aren't very fun or whatever, it's so cool because God's hand is in all of it. What? So can we trust him? So maybe we can trust him with his word too, right? Maybe we can trust him with our lives too. Amen? Amen. All right. Sorry, I need another little drink of water. my poor voice. Thank you guys for being patient. All right. Okay, so now when Alexander died, right, it says that he was left, and what does it say here? Let me look at it real quick. Yes, it would be parceled out to the four winds of heaven. So there was some battles and fighting going on, and basically it came down to four generals that took over his kingdom. They didn't have the power he had, but Cassander over in the Greek states, Lysimus in Turkey, Ptolemy all in the south, and like in the Egypt area, and the Seleucids in the rest of the world. I'll get to that in a minute. But it says here in God's word, it says that verse 4, it will not go to his descendants, nor will it have the power to be exercised, nor will it have the power he exercised, because the empire will be uprooted and given to others. Well, it was given to others, and it didn't go to his son. He actually had two sons. He had two wives. I guess you could do that if you're the leader of the world and you don't know. But he had two wives, Statira and Roxanne. Statira was married to Darius and lived over in Babylon, and Roxanne was his Greek wife. Anyway, so when he died, they were going to put his sons on the throne, but Roxanne had Statira and her son murdered. Well, so she could be the only thing. And then they tried to put, he also had a half-brother named Philip, and they put him on the throne, but he was a little mentally challenged, kind of like myself. And so he didn't last long. And that general there, Cassander, the guy right over here, that owned this part, came in and attacked and basically took his wife and child and held them hostage until he reached 14 years of age, puberty, and then he killed them. So it didn't go to his sons, it didn't go to his heirs, and actually killed the kids, killed the mom and the grandma. Yes. But God will even work all things to the good for those who are called according to his purpose. And he's going to work through all this knucklehead stuff, you know, whether you're pro this one or anti this one, whatever. Focus on the Lord, don't focus on people. Right? You're distracted if you're focusing on people. Goes on to say, the king of the south will become strong, and one of the commanders will become even stronger than he, and he will rule for some years, and they will become allies. Verse 6 goes on to say, after some years, yes, they will become allies. The daughter of the king of the north will go to the king, the daughter of the king of the south will go to the king of the north to make an alliance. But she will not retain her power, and he and his power will not last. In those days she will be handed over together with her royal escort and her father and the one who supported her. Well, that's pretty much self-explanatory. Okay, I'm kidding. The daughter of the king of the south will go to the king of the north. Now, who's the king of the south here? This is the Ptolemies, okay? Right here, see the green? Okay? And the Seleucids are the king of the north, okay? All right? So this was fulfilled in 250 BC when Bernice, the daughter of Ptolemy in the south, was sent to marry Antiochus in the north. There was peace for a time because of this marriage, but it was upset when Ptolemy died. So basically, the king of the south said, hey, this is kind of a common thing back in the day. Let me send you my daughter. We'll be married. We'll have peace. Antiochus says, oh, that'd be great. Now, here's the little problem. He was already married. So he divorced his wife, Laodice, and her son, and kicked her out, and then married Bernice from the south. It says, but she will not retain her power. And the whole point was Ptolemy, they would do this. A king would send his daughter and try to corrupt the king. You know, almost like a spy. Kind of like all Game of Thrones or something. You know, intrigue. Okay, so you're going to try to, I want you to feed my information. This is how I want you to. But anyway, she didn't retain her power because once dad died in the south. Antiochus put Bernice away, kicked her out, and took back his former wife, Laodice. Hey, now that dad's dead. And then his power abut, and he and his power will not last. Now, the sad thing was, the old wife, Laodice, was revengeful for being put away in the first place. So what she did was she poisoned the sister, Bernice, his wife, and the child, right? And then when they got remarried on their wedding night, she, Laodice, killed Antiochus. Poisoned him, actually. So that's really a nice family. Not really something I would envy. Okay. And then it says she'll be given up, and those brought to her. And then what happened was, then Laodice, after he was dead, killed her son, and then all the attendants. And then put her son, Seleucus II, on the throne. Man, oh man, I tell you what, that's some sick people, isn't it? All right, lights. Yes, that's right, lay it ice. She's as cold as ice. Oh, sorry, okay. Hey, she's willing to sacrifice. No, sorry. What? Well, don't judge me. You know the song. Hey, this is a tough passage. I'm looking for a little comic relief here. All right. Okay, so here we are, verse 7. Now it says, verse 7 says, now again, we're looking back at this, but remember, this was all predicted in the future. It says, one from her family line will arise to take her place. He will attack the fortress of the king of the north and enter his fortress. He will fight against them and be victorious. He will also, I'll just leave right there. So enraged by what happened to his sister, being put out by Antiochus and then killed by the wife and then putting her own son on the throne, Ptolemy III, okay, that's Bernice's brother, was so mad, went up and attacked the king of the north and won. And then it says in verse 8, he will also seize their gods, their metal images, and their valuable articles of silver and gold and carry them off to Egypt. For some years, he will leave the king of the north alone. And that's what he did. Actually, history records all this stuff. It's incredible. He took 4,000 talents of gold. Each talent is 75 pounds of gold. 4,000 talents of gold. 40,000 talents of silver. And 2,500 jeweled idols he took back with him. And then for a time, he left him alone. And then it says, his sons will prepare for war and assemble a great army, which will sweep on like an irresistible flood and carry the battle as far as his fortress. Now he had two sons, Seleucus III and Antiochus III. They were both generals. One was killed, and they took back Israel. They attacked, and they took back Israel, and they went all the way to the doors of the king of the south. It says, then the king of the north will invade the realm of the king of the south, but will retreat to his own country. Okay, yes, okay, I already read that. Sorry, verse 11. Then the king of the south will march out in rage and fight against the king of the north, who will raise a large army, and it will be defeated. That's what happened. What does verse 12 say? When the army is carried off, the king of the south will be filled with pride and slaughter many thousands, yet he will not remain triumphant. Okay. All right, so basically, the king of the south will march out with rage and fight against the king of the north. That happened historically June 22nd in 217 BC when the southern king Ptolemy devastated the large army that Antiochus III raised and killed many thousands of troops at the Battle of Rapha. And if you just want to Google that, it actually comes up. It said, yet he will not remain triumphant. And this was fulfilled when Antiochus III was defeated at the Battle of Rapha. Because of that loss, he was forced to give back his dominion over the Holy Land, However, at the beginning of the downfall, that was the beginning of the downfall of the Ptolemy kingdom, and it would never fully recover. And according to history, during that battle, Ptolemy had 70,000 infantry, 5,000 cavalry, and 73 war elephants. And Antiochus had about 62,000 infantry, 6,000 cavalry, and 102 elephants. Interestingly, at least for me, it was the only time that war elephants were used. African and Asian war elephants, nobody cares about that. Okay, great. I told you this was tough. But it's in the scripture. And you know what God says? He says it's all inspired. All of it. All right. It says, verse 13, for the king of the north will muster another army larger than the first, and after several years he will advance a huge army fully equipped. And that's called the Battle of Panem, and that was where Antiochus destroyed Ptolemy's army. Now listen, this happened, do you guys remember this? You guys remember this? The Battle of Panem, you can look that up on Google too. It was fought 200 BC by Caesarea Philippi. That's the exact, by Antiochus and Seleucids. In the north, they were helped by the Greeks, Philip of Macedonia, and they fought the Ptolemies in the south. Now listen, this area right here, this is the Grotto of Panios, this is Hell's Gate, this is Caesarea Philippi, this is the same people, the same place. Actually, I've been there, and they've got all these grottos to false gods. It was the same place where Jesus took all of his disciples. Do you remember this? And he brought them to this place. And there's a bunch, they've got temples to this god, that god, grottos in there. And that little, you can't really see, the Jordan River comes out of this, but back in that hole over to the left, that big one, that's called the Gates of Hell. And he looked over this, and he said, took it to his disciples, he said, who do people say that I am? And he said, well, some people say you're a great teacher. Okay. Some people say you're even a prophet. Okay. But who do you say I am? And do you remember what Peter said? Who did he say that he was? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he took him before all these fake idols, and he said, who do you say I am? Look at all these fake stuff, all these fake gods, all these. Now who do you say I am? You are the King of Kings, and you're the Lord of Lords. And that's who he is. So we have to keep that right perspective. See, I told you, if you love history, you're going to love this particular lesson. If you're not, you're going to be gouging your eyes out. So continue to gouge. Give me 5 more minutes. Chris, can you hit the lights just for 1 second? Thanks. Thank you, buddy. It says, in those times, many will rise against the king of the south. The violent men of your own people will rebel in fulfillment to the vision, but without success. And history records that because of heavy taxation during this time, many of the Jews, they supported Antiochus, which was really a mistake. They didn't want to be ruled by Ptolemy anymore. And so they started a rebellion, but it was ended up being squashed, and they didn't have success. Verse 15 says, then the king of the north will come and build up siege ramps and will capture a fortified city. The forces of the south will be powerless to resist, and even their best troops will not have the strength to stand. And that's just what happened. Ptolemy's forces decimated the army this time, almost killed all of them, and the bunch of them ran to the Decapolis, to Jerusalem. 10,000 troops went with the Egyptian general Scopas to a place called Sidon, and they had to build up siege ramps to get them out of there. So, I mean, it's just all just proves God's word's proving true again and again and again. Now, to us, it's like, I almost want to say, well, this already happened. Why bother with it? But it's still 100% accurate. I mean, that's worth noting. It says, the invader will do as he pleases, and no one will be able to stand against him. He will establish himself in the beautiful land, that's Israel, and will have the power to destroy it. It says he will determine to come with the might of his entire kingdom and make an alliance with the king of the south, and he will give his daughter in marriage, again with this marriage thing, in order to overthrow the kingdom, but his plans will not succeed or help him. So this is what he did. So he wasn't able to take over all of it, but he really put the smack down on the Egyptian army, the Ptolemy's army. And so what he did was he offered his daughter, Cleopatra, not Liz Taylor. That was like 100 years later. This is a Greek Cleopatra, okay? There's another Cleopatra. To marry Ptolemy's son. Guess how old Ptolemy's son was? 8.
Oh, my gosh. How old is she?
I don't know. I don't know how old. I just know that he was 8. So he offered to. And what happened was, see, the whole plan was that, okay, I'm going to put my own daughter. You're going to have a son. He's going to ascend to the throne. You're going to be my spy. Antiochus is thinking, I'm going to have you anyway. This is, I'm going to rule the Ptolemy's land in the south. You know, all Game of Thrones. But what happened was, over time, those kids developed a friendship. And then eventually, they fell in love. And they got married. And she wouldn't spy for him anymore. In fact, she gave the loyalty to Ptolemy. Which, of course, freaked out her dad. Ah! But anyway, that's why it says, okay... but it will not succeed or help him. Then verse 18 says, then he will turn his attention to the coastlands and he will take many of them, but a commander will put an end to his insolence and will turn his insolence back upon him. After this, verse 19 says, he will turn back toward the fortress of his own country, but will stumble and fall to be seen no more. Now, really quickly, that happened. Oh, man, I thought I had another slide in here. There we go. Okay, so Antiochus III set his sights on Greece and the Mediterranean coastland, and he was taking them all over. He had initial success and victories. He was helped by Hannibal. You guys remember that guy from history? The general from Carthage. Anyway, but he came face to face with a brand new power that was rising, who nobody heard of, which was called Rome, just like Daniel predicted. Okay, the Roman general, Lucius Cornelius Scipio, whatever his name is, soundly defeated Antiochus in Greece. And so Antiochus planned to humiliate Greece with this, but he was humiliated instead. In fact, in 188 BC, he was forced to surrender in a humiliating way. The Treaty of Apina, where he was forced to turn over much of his territory, most of his military, and even his son Antiochus, he had to give him to the Romans. If that wasn't enough, he also had to pay for the war and a large tribute to Rome. So imagine, this guy thought he had everything, but in his insolence, but was smacked down. In fact, what happened was, a Roman general did this. All of his troops were with, and he had all of his troops. He went up to him. And he said, I need to think about this, Antiochus said. I need to think about this. This is a lot you're laying on me. So I need to think about this. And the Roman general said, it's no problem. You take as much time as you need. And he took a stick. And he drew a circle all around Antiochus. He said, you take as much time as you need to decide whatever you want. But you will decide before you leave that circle. So Antiochus went back humiliated in front of all his troops, all the Roman troops. He had to give up basically everything. And he went back with his tail between his legs, the Bible says. And then, well, it doesn't say tail between his legs. That's my paraphrase version. Lights. And then it says this. It says, after this, he will turn back toward the fortress of his own country, but will stumble and fall to be seen no more. And what happened to him? On his way back, he was so humiliated and so upset, and he had so little troops. He went to this town called Elymas, and there was a temple to Zeus there, and he went to go take money out of the treasury to pay for he had to pay for the war, he had to pay for everything. But he was so wimpy at this point that history records that all the people rose up against him. They didn't like him. They beat him to death. And he was never seen or heard from ever again. Well, that little happy story is something you can tell the kids tonight. Okay. All right. So I realize that this particular chapter is very historical. I'm trying to make it as fun as possible. But it's in the scripture. And it's to tell us, it should give us great confidence, even though there's a lot of details that, you know, you're like, oh my goodness, wait, the king of the north and the king of the south and the what the hoot the ha. You know what I mean? You want to rip your hair out. However, when you look at it historically, that all these things happened just as the Bible said, in consecutive order, it's staggering. So don't, you know, even though we're going through this and it's like, this part that just happens to be this chapter is a little grinding. You remember that your God is in control of all history. And you're going to find out, even next week, the people who submit to the Lord are always taking care of the Lord, even unto death. Even unto death. And next week, we're going to get a picture of the Antichrist. In Daniel, you're going to get a little picture of what he looks like and what it sounds like, so that you'll be able to recognize him. Hopefully, we'll be raptured, if you know the Lord, by then. And then we're going to see that, a picture of him, next week. So take great confidence that your God is in charge of everything. You just need to follow him one step at a time. Don't worry as much about what's happening here, what's happening there. You follow Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for helping my voice to make it through this this chapter, Lord God, this kind of tough historical chapter. Lord God, I thank you for just your word, Lord, that doesn't return void, Lord God. I pray that you would encourage the heart of every person here, knowing, Lord, knowing personally that they can trust you, that you are in charge of everything, Lord, that if all the schemes of man and the plans and the cunning of whatever, that you're going to cut through all that stuff, Lord, so your purposes are going to prevail. So no wickedness is ever going to end up being ultimately victorious. We who stand with you will be victorious, Lord God. And we'll get to hear from you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray your blessing this week on the Bible studies, Lord God, on Tuesday's women's study. Lord, bless it, anoint it. I wish even I could hear what was being said, Lord God, and what those prayers are from Erica, Lord God. I wish I could be there to hear that, Lord. I just pray a blessing over it, Lord, on Wednesday's youth group. Lord, bless Josh and Amanda Panda. Thank you for them trying to teach the kids and encourage the kids in you, Lord, and doing the winter jam thing. Lord, I pray for your blessing on the Experiencing God course. Stir hearts, Lord. Anoint hearts, Lord. Whoever, Lord, you want to come, that they wouldn't let anything stop them from coming Thursday night, Lord God. And I pray for your blessing on this group, Lord God, that you would continue to build them up and encourage them all. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Amen.